AOPA members of the Jewish faith are unhappy. The U.S. commits to the International Space Station through 2024, and the new FAA SIM policy could harm aviation safety. This is Aero News for Thursday, January 9, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. The new AOPA has scheduled the biggest of their recently announced series of revitalized member events, the one that will pick up where the AOPA fly-in, discontinued under the Fuller presidency, left off, for October the 4th, right smack dab on Yom Kippur. And that has left aviators of the Jewish faith more than a little unsettled. Quote, "It's like scheduling it over Easter weekend," end quote, noted one complaint, going on to say, "I mean, wow. At a time when AOPA memberships are plummeting and they're talking wanting to do a lot of membership outreach, this seems a silly way to snub so many of their members," end quote. Unlike a number of religious holidays of varying importance, Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year for those of Jewish faith. The population of Jewish aviators, while a minority in the industry, is still organized and prominent enough to have their own organization, Jews in Aviation, with a solid history of outreach and pro-aviation activity. Despite a number of emails and calls reported here to ANN and acknowledged by AOPA, the organization stands by its decision to hold its home event on October the 4th and reiterated its intent to stay with the announced date. AOPA's Steve Hodges noted that, quote, "We sincerely regret that we could not avoid Yom Kippur when scheduling this year's Frederick fly-in. We were faced with considering everything from other aviation events already scheduled in the area to the dates of the Frederick County Fair. After taking those issues into account, October 4th was the weekend for this year's event. We assure members that we will do everything possible next year to avoid any conflicts," end quote. As more than 30 heads of space agencies from around the world are gathering in Washington, D.C. today and tomorrow for an unprecedented summit on the future of space exploration, the White House issued a news release saying that the Obama administration has approved an extension of the International Space Station until at least 2024. The White House said the extension of ISS operations will allow NASA and the international space community to accomplish a number of important goals. It will allow NASA to complete necessary research activities aboard the ISS in support of planned long-duration human missions beyond low Earth orbit, including our planned human mission to an asteroid by 2025 and to Mars in the 2030s. ISS extension will extend the broader flow of societal benefits from research on the station. Research conducted on the ISS has already resulted in a number of discoveries with significant medical and industrial implications. The ISS is also playing an increasingly important role in the study of the Earth and its changing climate. Can you say polar vortex? And a further benefit of the ISS extension is that it will give NASA and its private sector partners time to more fully transition to the commercial space industry and the transportation of cargo and crew to low Earth orbit, allowing NASA to continue to increase its focus on developing the next-generation heavy-lift rocket and crew capsule necessary for deep space exploration, while helping to cement continuing U.S. leadership in human spaceflight going forward. The Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, SAFE, told the FAA Wednesday that an unexpected change in agency policy on letters of authorization, or LOAs, for general aviation flight simulators will harm aviation safety, create a burden on the industry, and run counter to the intent of current LOAs. The FAA's Notice of Policy Change for the Use of FAA-Approved Training Devices, published in the January 2nd edition of the Federal Register, will sunset all FAA letters of authorization for general aviation flight simulators on January 1, 2015. That will limit pilots to the FAR Part 61.65I maximum of 10 hours of simulator time loggable toward an instrument rating. Some LOAs for advanced simulators currently allow as many as 20 hours of simulator training to count toward that instrument rating. Doug Stewart, SAFE's executive director, says, quote, The FAA should be encouraging better pilot training, not discouraging it. The extra simulator training hours allowed by these LOAs is invaluable, end quote. SAFE's official comments ask the FAA to rescind its proposed policy change in the interest of safety. Two U.S. Armed Forces helos have gone down in the past 48 hours. A U.S. Navy MH-53E Sea Dragon helicopter went down in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Virginia. Four of the five crew members on board the aircraft have been accounted for, and an SAR effort was mounted to locate the fifth. The aircraft went down about 12 nautical miles east of Cape Henry, Virginia. The Virginian pilot reports that Navy spokesman Commander Mike Kafka said the aircraft was one of a flight of two on a training mission when it was forced into an emergency ditching into the water. The second Sea Dragon dropped the raft into the water for the crew of the helo that went down. Navy officials have confirmed that two of the crew members that had been recovered have died. Two remain hospitalized while the search continues for the missing fifth crewman. The water temperature at the accident site was reported to be about 40 degrees, according to USA Today. In England, an Air Force HH-60G Pavehawk helicopter went down at about 1800 Greenwich Mean Time on January 7th near Salthouse on the Norfolk coast. The aircraft, assigned to the 48th Fighter Wing, was on a low-level training mission when the accident occurred, according to an Air Force release. The Air Force confirms that all four crew members on board were fatally injured. And speaking of helos, an official inquiry into an accident in 2009 involving a Super Puma helicopter that resulted in the fatal injury of 16 is underway in the UK. 14 oil rig workers and two crew were on board the aircraft when the main rotor gearbox suffered a quote-unquote catastrophic failure and went down in the North Sea. When Aero News continues, the FAA and Aero modelers to sign a landmark agreement. The FAI sanctions the Red Bull Air Races and honoring a World War II icon.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, January the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. James Williams, executive manager of the FAA's Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration Office, will join AMA President Bob Brown on the main AMA Expo stage Saturday to sign a Memorandum of Understanding. This agreement institutes a formal relationship between the FAA and the Academy of Model Aeronautics and establishes the platform upon which the AMA and the FAA will jointly work to ensure the continued safe operation of model aircraft in the national airspace system. The AMA has served as the national body for model aviation for 77 years. The execution of this document puts the FAA one step closer to fully enacting the special rule for model aircraft established as part of the FAA's Modernization and Reform Act of 2012. The premier exposition for model aviation, AMA Expo 2014, takes place tomorrow through Sunday at the Ontario Convention Center in Ontario, California. Following the announcement of the resumption of the Red Bull Air Race World Championship in 2014, the FAI and the Red Bull Air Race Management have signed an agreement confirming FAI's official international recognition of the World Championship, as well as detailing the FAI's support in the form of safety supervision. The agreement includes the provision of FAI medals, especially designed for the Red Bull Air Race, the inclusion of all races in the FAI events calendar, and the official approval by the FAI of the air race rules and regulations. Furthermore, the FAI will provide a safety delegate who will attend all events to supervise safety aspects. 2014 marks the 40th year of flight for the commemorative Air Force's iconic B-29 Superfortress Fifi. The airplane, rescued and restored by the CAF in the early 1970s, has been a regular feature at airports and air shows all across the country. The B-29 squadron of the CAF was the first group to begin touring historic warbirds in 1974. To celebrate Fifi's 40th anniversary tour, the CAF B-29-B-24 squadron has produced a limited edition Superfortress 2014 collector's calendar. Proceeds from the sale of these calendars will go toward replacing the airplane's almost 70-year-old exhaust system at a cost of some $75,000. Fifi supporters can receive the Superfortress 2014 collector's calendar for a donation of just $50. Only 1,000 of these calendars are being produced, and they are signed by 5 of the squadron's leaders, including, notably, Niels Agather, son of the original Fifi, Josephine Fifi Agather, namesake of the CAF's B-29, and current B-29-B-24 squadron commander. An even more limited number of just 29 calendars will also be signed by Theodore Dutch Van Kirk. Dutch was the navigator on the B-29 Enola Gay that bombed Hiroshima. He is the only remaining crew member from that plane's fateful mission. Paul Tibbetts IV, grandson of the Enola Gay pilot, has also signed these special calendars, which are being offered to those who contribute $500 or more. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.